I'd like to call this meeting to order, and if you would all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Let the record show that all members are present and we have a quorum. Mr. Hirsch, report from closed session.
There's nothing to report from the last closed session, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch. Okay. We then move to item 1E, which is the election of officers. And I just want to say that it has been my pleasure during this past year to serve as your president. And now I'm prepared to give up the gavel to whomever is chosen by the members. So I could entertain a motion from the board.
I would like to nominate Vice President Beringer to be the office of president.
I second it.
Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, I'll close the nominations. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Aye.
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 I'll abstain.
I think you have been chosen today. Mr. Beringer, congratulations, and with that, I'll change seats. Okay.
So I have to continue this. Okay. All right, well, I suppose we have a second officer, and that would be the vice president in the event that the president can't be present. The vice president would take over, and after that, I think there's no quorum. So I would... entertain nominations for vice president.
I would nominate Director Robinette for the office of vice president.
I'll second that.
Aye. So that completes the elections of officers. Congratulations, Ms. Robinette. And
thank you.
Next time we'll select a seat if you'd like. I'd like to have the vice president near me so that I can put a task off perhaps. Now we have special reports, the sheriff's department report. Seeing no representative from the sheriff's department, fire department report.
Well, good afternoon, President Beringer, and congratulations, Vice President Robinette. Before you have our run stats for all of our emergency response information and public education and fire prevention efforts for the month of November. I won't belittle that or get into any of that since you have that in print in front of you. Just some highlights. One thing that I would really like to mention, and I'm sure you've heard it, and the fire up in Big Sur right now is bringing it to the attention of everybody with the smoke in town. The fuel moisture levels are at all-time record lows right now, and it's starting to get a little scary for us, and if we don't get some rain here fairly soon, we're going to start being very edgy at the fire department. So I just want to ask everybody in the community and, you know, anybody that sees anything that looks like a hazard or something that the fire department needs to address as far as defensible space, weed abatement, any of those type of issues, I'd like for a phone call and for that to be brought to our attention so we can try and deal with it. We've even had a little bit of idea that we may be looking at the idea of trying to, if we don't get some rain running through January here fairly soon, we may end up having to do a second round of some type of veg cleanup in town to just try and keep everything on a even keel until we get through. And then we'll probably have to do another round again later. You know, so it may end up being a situation where we have to run a second weed abatement for the year. We got a response to it. It was nothing big. It was not a big problem, but I don't think that affected. I don't think it startled the community like the previous one in San Simeon did, because the smoke went the direction it was supposed to go. Last month, we had a number of our personnel were able to attend the Fresno Symposium, and some of our new recruit firefighters were able to enter into a training session where they got a lot of live fire training. We're able to utilize their burn house for a period of a four-day intense class for interior structural firefighting, which is something that we haven't been able to do a lot of. So we're real happy about the opportunity of getting our new guys out and kind of getting their feet under them early. Pre-planning at the Hearst Castle is ongoing. Last month we had half of our officer group attended a comprehensive pre-planning session where we went through all of the areas of the facility that I never knew existed there, looked at where utility sites were, key areas for fire protection type efforts and stuff, and took half of our officer group through. Next month, the second half will go through. This is all based off of a comprehensive pre-plan that a retired fire officer and Cambria community member Greg Bates put together working up there. It's very well done. The Christmas Village. I'm sure everyone in town has noticed that is underway in full swing. We at the fire department, working with the county to a certain extent and the Coastal Commission, put together a fire and life safety plan for that event. The fire and life safety plan focuses on traffic control, pedestrian safety, and fire and life safety issues within the event area. We felt that it addressed all of the issues that we had brought forth through a series of walkthroughs with members of the NCAC and people in the community, and we tried to address all of the issues. And the comments that I've heard from our personnel is they think it's a lot better this year than it was the last time around. So if anybody has any information on that or anything to the contrary that we can do to try to influence that situation, we would appreciate that information as well. The Season of Hope, the donations are coming to an end. We have a collection point at the fire department. Heritage Bank also has one. If they haven't picked the stuff up yet, but they will within the next few days. If anybody has anything that they would like to donate, the donation point is still open. The Amgen tour, as you all know, is coming to town in May, and this is a finish point, which makes it a whole different animal than what we've had in the past. We have a kickoff meeting on January 15th at a location to be announced for all of the players with different portions of managing that event. So after that meeting, I'll be able to have more information for the board on what our involvement is and how, you know, what type of responsibilities that we may be looking forward to in May. Thanks to Mike Finnegan at the Water Department, we have been able to partner with them to purchase a air compressor unit, a sandblaster, a spray gun, and some paint. And the idea being to take a trash can, and cut out an access point and go around to all of the hydrants that need maintenance and have a mobile sandblaster unit to take the paint off of those and then repaint them with a spray gun. So I think that it's something that we kind of had in mind. It's a little labor intensive, but the water department was interested in helping us out with that, and I want to thank Mike Finnegan for that. And you should see some improvement in some of the hydrants around town in the upcoming year. So, and with that, I will say I'll wish all of the board happy holidays. Unless you have any questions.
Any questions,
yeah,
Mr. Clifton?
I have one. Some residents up on North Hampton, possibility is to maintain that down area that was cleared.
That was a big bone of contention during the process of getting that project approved, and Cal Fire has committed to maintain the fuel break in perpetuity. That is outside of the CCSD district proper, and it falls in their jurisdiction. But they received a lot of pressure on that particular issue because of the threat of invasive species of plants like scotch broom being able to come in and propagate in where they did the fuel break. And that main area of concern was addressed by them, by Cal, when I say them, Cal Fire, committing to maintain that moving forward.
Then can we ask them to take a look at it?
Yeah. Yes, I will definitely
okay.
do that.
I appreciate that. They were concerned because they said that we've always cleared back 50 to 100 feet, but now we can only clear back to...
Because of the fence.
Just where our property line is because of the fence.
Yeah. And that is our most important fuel break in the community, without a doubt. That one... Getting that project done was a big thing, I think, for the fire safety in the community, and that one, above all others, is the one that we need to focus on.
And I think the residents there were just concerned that they had the feeling they were less safe because they were watching it grow and not knowing who had
the... So the scotch broom has already propagated back already this soon?
Yeah.
So, okay.
I haven't seen it, but that's what I was told.
Yeah. Well, I'll make a note of that and address that with Chief Lewin and Chief Roberts with Cal Fire to make sure that they're looking at doing what they said they would do.
Director Rice.
I just have a question about the impact of the reduced irrigation, since we're only allowing residents to irrigate one day a week, and you said it's that, you know, that the fuel is as dry as we've ever seen. The impact of that combined with the reduction of the ability to do defensible spaces, even if you're not out at the edge of town right there, because you've got a neighbor that has things that are drying out because they're only...
We would like to see any type of vegetation that's up near the house should be ignition resistant type of plant life, and that would be, I mean, it's easy for me to sit here and say that, but I know that people have their landscaping in and that type of thing, and that becomes an issue in this type of situation. And it is, I mean, it's very extreme right now,
so we just need rain.
We need rain bad
for all kinds of reasons.
Yeah. And I would urge any homeowners that have plant life and things that could create a hazard to their home to look at possibly trimming that back or taking measures to eliminate that. You know, I don't think it's safe, and I can't tell them that they need to just go dump a lot of water on it that we don't have. So,
well, don't we have in the ordinance the authority of the general manager to override and provide the ability to modify our irrigation rules Don't we have that in our ordinance on that?
I believe there's a hardship waiver provision, but nothing broader than that.
Well, but what I'm suggesting is that between now and the next board meeting, if we don't have weather conditions that are moisture producing, that we leave to the fire chief and the general manager the authority to make a decision if they need to tell people to. I mean, if that's an emergency situation, then I think they should have that authority to make that decision without coming back to us.
I noticed Mr. Gruber is reluctant to do a wholesale a hardship.
Each situation is definitely going to be variable depending on the type of vegetation that there is and how close it is and, you know, how it's situated. If it's situated under windows and decks and it's dry brush type stuff, it's probably not a good idea.
But at this point, lifting the irrigation ban wouldn't necessarily reduce the fire hazard. I mean, the thing that reduces the fire hazard is making sure that within 30 feet of the home, you don't have things that are going to go up like a
affirmative report. I had just two things. You had said you were talking about the smoke from Big Sur. Just a little bit of kind of an understanding for us here. What is kind of like the impact at this point for Cambria as far as just air quality?
Well, a lot of that depends, as you saw the other night, on the direction that the wind is bringing it in. We had a condition, I believe it was not a little bit last night, but the night before, Tuesday night, it got pretty thick in here. It was laying down. It was an inversion type of situation. There wasn't a lot of high winds, but it had drifted down, and it was laying in here pretty good. I had a little bit of a headache when I left. I don't know whether it was psychosomatic or not, but I felt like I was breathing a lot of smoke, and I don't think the air quality was good at all. But today, you don't get – I don't smell it out there or see it, so it must be moving off in a different direction. The wind's carrying it out offshore or farther east of us. So I would say – it's just variable depending on which way the winds are going, and hopefully they get a handle on it. Hopefully they get a handle on it today, because I understand there's a possibility of some high winds coming through, 30-mile-an-hour winds. It could change that fire pretty dramatically up there and push it around. So we're hoping that they get a good handle on it today and contain it to a point to where they're braced for the high winds. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome. Happy holidays.
Yeah, great. Now moving on to acknowledgments and presentations, and I think in this case it's appropriate. We have a speaker on item 3A, Ms. Tina Dickinson. Acknowledgments and presentations. Is that the one you wanted to have?
I thought you were going to do the acknowledgement first.
I think in this case, I think that it would be best if you'd like to speak on the issue first.
Okay. Thought we were going to. The light is on. Can you hear me? Well, I was hoping that Ms. Choate would be here to give her our best wishes. And I thought there would be a cake, as I thought there would be for Jim Adams. So I find it kind of sad that we can't celebrate.
Had Kathy Choate as our director. She was the district clerk, and she'd been the district clerk for as long as I've lived here. I was hoping, likewise, that we could read this to her and present it to her. And I hope that she's watching, and once she receives this, I'm sure it's heartfelt from all of us. I'll read it from here, in that she's not here. But it's an honorary proclamation from the Cambria Community Service District. The proclamation recognizing Kathy A. Choate for 12 years of service to the community. Whereas Kathy A. Choate began her employment with the Cambria Community Services District as district clerk on August 13th, 2001, and retired from the Cambria Community Service District on November 8, 2013. And whereas, as the district clerk, Kathy became a member of the International Institute of Municipal Clerks, and in doing so, Kathy strived to stay appraised of state-of-the-art administrative processes, changes in the law, and ensure that the organization had the highest quality resources available. And whereas Kathy oversaw the preparation, assembly, and distribution of required meeting agenda materials for literally hundreds of board of directors and its committee meetings, always in compliance with the complex requirements of state law. And whereas Kathy has often the face of the Cambria Community Services District, thoughtfully handling daily communications, inquiries, and complaints with great skill, tact, and judgment while interacting with members of the public and the press. Whereas Kathy kept the administration department library up to date, supervised record management activities, and diligently maintained the official records of the district. And whereas Kathy consistently provided highly skilled and responsible administrative and executive assistance in performing essential management support functions on behalf of the board of directors and general manager, now therefore it be resolved that I, Jim Beringer, president of the board of directors, on behalf of the board of directors, do hereby recognize Kathy H. Oat for her 12 years of outstanding and dedicated service to the Cambria Community Services District and to the entire Cambria community. We are extremely proud to have had Kathy as a member of our district family and hereby congratulate and extend our deep appreciation to her and wish her well upon her retirement from service. In witness hereof, I have hereto set my hand and caused the seal of the Cambria Community Services District to be affixed the 19th day of December, 2000.
And thank her for her years of service.
Thank you, and I know she's been invited, and I really hope that if I run into her on the street or whatever, I'm able to chat with her a little bit. Now we're going to have agenda reviews. Any additions, deletions, or pulled consent items?
I have I'd like to pull item 7C.
Item 7C. Okay. We can pull that. Any other additions or pulled items? Okay. Then we'll move on to public comment. And I have two slips of persons to speak. First, Tina Dickinson, followed by Jeff Hellman. It's the only two people.
Tina Dickinson, Cambria. Can you hear me? Okay. In reference to the fire chief's report, so last year I mentioned that on the Bluff Trail, as you're going from Seacliff Estates over to Marine Terrace, at that turn that you take, that sharp turn, there's a bench there facing out to the ocean. It's the last one facing out before you get to over to the terrace. And there was a lot of debris from firecrackers. So recently, about 2 weeks ago, I was taking a walk on the Bluff Trail, and right around that bench, where I actually do a little work out there, so I see what's around the ground, and there were pieces of paper about that big, singed, burned, many of them. And so something's happening there in that area. I mean, it just seems strange that it's happening. I don't walk that trail every day. I walk it fairly frequently. But I do recall that when Ms. Ruduck was general manager and Ben Bohr was manager of the ranch, they put a camera on one of the signs as you're coming from Seacliff Estate, starting your walk on the trail, the first habitat sign that just sits back off the trail facing the ocean. They said, I can't remember why, but a camera was put in place. But I'm beginning to wonder, I don't know if that camera's still there, but I'm beginning to wonder if a camera shouldn't be put in this area where there's some activity with fireworks and one day a week watering. What I find rather incredible is that the water production report for October, when there was a ban in place, was 52.42 acre feet. We saved 13 acre feet from September 65 point whatever. November, when we were The restriction was lifted to one day a week of watering. The well production was lower than in October, 52.11 acre feet. That's a mystery to me, that how could we have gone down in just by a small amount when everybody's watering? If I would say everybody, I don't know that for sure, but plenty of people, and you certainly haven't seen the huge tanks in town as much as you did when there was the ban. How can that production figure be less than for October? But I really feel that since no emergency conditions were ever put in place until the crisis, that we should still be looking at surcharges, that we should be having even more restrictions on water. Because how will the fire department put out a fire? How will we be able to turn on our taps and find water at some point? I still see trucks being brought into Cambria with water. We're supposed to have rain today. So I think you really, you've got to start doing way more than you have been. And I urge you to do it. This is an emergency. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson. Mr. Hellman?
I'm Jeff Hellman, resident of Cambria. The board, I'm usually the person that plays a role of being really critical of the policies and the actions of the boards. I've been doing that a lot. I want to tell the board that as individuals, I have a lot of respect for all of you people, and I like everybody on a personal basis. But I'm, in recapping the year, wanting to come up here and sort of summarize what this, you know, member of the community sees on the board policies. I'd like to be really upbeat about it, but I come up here as a citizen of this community kind of terrified of some of the policies that I've seen the board execute. We've seen a major, major effort to do intent to serve letters this year during a drought. I'd like the board to remember all the previous, I've been here 9 years, every board that I've seen previous to your board has been pro-desal and pro-growth, and yet even the whole county has laughed at this board for a lot of its missteps and a lot of the things they thought was just silly and goofy. Are distributing a few shower heads going to offset the worst drought on record going back to the 1870s and the boom in tourism that we've seen with all of its inherent extra use of water? A few shower heads, the equations aren't matching, and a lot of us feel that even though the board has good people on it, the board is not doing a good job, is not serving the people the way they need to be served, and not being fair and equitable within the community, not putting the members of the community first, where sometimes it seems like you put the people that want to make a profit on their investments first. I hope the board can do so, be a little bit better next year, be fair, and have a plan, not just be going haphazardly down the road and making everybody crazy about what I've heard described as both reckless and dangerous. I like you guys. I wish you the best, but I'm a terrified citizen at this point in time. Thank you.
Okay, any other comments? If not, manager and board reports. General manager.
Thank you, President Behringer. I got to get used to saying that, so if I slip once or twice. I have my manager's report in front of you, and one of the things that I did include was the goals for this last year. Just a side note, we approved these goals in February of 2013, so it's been about 10 months. So I did include them, and if you would like me to go over them, I'd be more than happy to, and kind of give you an update on where we are with them, if you want me to spend the time to do that. If not, I can take the goals next month and provide a written summary in more detail on where we are. But either way, I'd be more than happy to, whatever the board's choice is, or whatever the president's choice is. Just need some guidance here before I jump into it.
Well, I think they're all printed. Any member of the board want Mr. Gruber to go through them. I do have some comments on them, but rather than having you go through each one.
Okay. Well, let me do this. Let me, if it's okay with the president, then let me just go through some key points of my staff report. And again, I always put this first, but we continue to work closely on monitoring the production records, the production well levels, and the monitoring well levels. We have been in a drought for an extended period of time, but I'm pleased with the work that Mike and the staff are doing out in the field in managing our limited resources. Production was down again. I would attribute that a lot to just the awareness of the community and the willingness of them to help. And I do have a chart that I want to put up a little bit later on after my presentation, if that's okay. Just to kind of show you, I was asked by Director Rice, and it was a really good question at the conservation meeting, Jerry, could you show us on a day-to-day basis production from the time in October where the board implemented the no watering restrictions, carry that forward till November when the board decided to loosen those restrictions a little bit and allow for odd, even watering, depending on what your address was, and correlate that to the production. And I do have a graph that I'll show you a little bit later that shows that made a significant difference. It really impacted production, and production was down, as the reports show. As I said, the goals and objectives are attached. One thing I wanted to just touch briefly on, because it's part of the conditions of the ranch management plan, is the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Commission did approve a proposal from Firma for landscaping architectural services for the Fiscalini Preserve Community Park. David Foote from Firma gave a presentation at the last PROS meeting. It was well attended. I appreciate everybody coming, and went over what the next steps will be in moving forward with at least some preliminary designs for moving the dog park and getting some very limited parking over there. But as we continue down this process, we'll always include the community. I've received a proposal from Alex Handler. Alex Handler, did our master fee schedule, and he did our connection fees, and the board and the community was really happy with him. I've been asked by the board for several months now to come forward with a comprehensive rate study. That rate study would evaluate our current rate structure. I think we all know that there is some tweaking that can be done there as far as conservation goes, but it's also a proposal that addresses a 10-year financial plan, and I'll be bringing that forward to the board for consideration in January. Alex was unable to attend in December. I asked him to modify the proposal in one area today, and that's to focus on monthly billing as we move forward. I won't take Bob's thunder on the Army Corps of Engineers. I think there's some pretty significant policy decisions the board needs to make in the next month or so. Regarding the Army Corps of Engineers. We continue to work on the records retention and destruction program, and we're continuing moving forward on infrastructure repairs. Mike Finnegan, our utility manager, he's not going to get off the hook next month. He's going to be here, and he's going to give a slideshow presentation on all the improvements that we've made to the water and wastewater infrastructure for 2013 of January, for a whole time period, and he'll be talking through that and walking through that. And then in February, I want to go live with our SCADA system, and I want to be able to sit here and bring up the SR4 and the rodeo grounds and Stewart Street tank and all that and the WBE, and I want to show you what how we'll be able to operate that. Our goal is, and relatively soon, is I don't want to have to pick up the phone and call the water department and say, what is our production? So we'll have access to that. I'll have access to it. Bob will have access to it. And the fire chief, which I think is important, I don't know if Mark knows this yet, but I think he does. Mark will have a screen and access to the water distribution system and see what production is and what the tank levels are. And I think that's a critical component to allow him to address some of the concerns that he just brought up a minute ago. So January will be summarizing all the infrastructure improvements with pictures and a walkthrough by Mike, and then February we'll go live and we'll be able to bring up the SCADA system that we've put in, the telemetry system. that's important to helping us manage everything right now. I think if we were having to go about turning things off and on right now, it would be a lot more critical from a water supply standpoint than it is right now, but I don't want to minimize our concerns. Now we have an automated capability that's allowing us to manage the resources a lot better. Within the next 6 months or so, I've talked with the interim clerk and Monique Madrid. We're focusing on Special District Leadership Foundation and becoming a district transparency and certificate of excellence. So we're working on that. I made notes on all the goals and what we've accomplished, but they had reached about 3.9 a couple months ago. Director Rice had asked me about providing more information to the board on our revenue. We do really good on the expenditures area, but there's some room for improvement. So in January, we'll be bringing back a sheet that'll be attached to this, and it'll kind of go over and show you where our revenue comes from, when we can expect it. For an example, water and sewer bills are every other month. Property taxes are ongoing, but there are two times a year where we get a big check, and it'll help the board have a better understanding of where our revenue comes from. Ultimately, what we want to do when we go to a monthly billing and we go through that whole process, our new financial software will be able to print out a report that will show you where our revenue is, because that's just as important as the expenditure side of things. Again, on the following pages is our debts, is our bonds. We're going to be retiring some of those, especially on the wastewater side, and I have some good ideas on how we want to spend that. On page 16 is Monique Madrid's report, very short, but the majority of her time right now has been working with the folks at Liebert, Cassidy, and Whitmore, who we hired to do IIFF negotiations. Those negotiations are going very well, and the board will be briefed on that in closed session today. The next page, 17, is Courtney's conservation report. I would like her to come next month and give you a 5 or 10 minute report. We're doing so much more than shower heads. And I really appreciate the work the Conservation Ad Hoc Committee's put into this. But I think we need to do a better job in communicating that, and I can appreciate the comments about that. We are doing so much more than that. We do have a lot of money available in the conservation budget still this year for rebates. So if anybody out there wants to replace their wash machine, or they want to purchase a reservoir tank, or they want to replace their toilets, we have rebates for all that. The Conservation Committee is currently looking at expanding that rebate to include other things. What I did out of the conservation budget the other day is I authorized for continue to make improvements. Mike's really excited about it's called an Op-10 program right now. He's implemented in the wastewater, and when he became the utilities manager, he implemented into the water side. And what it is software that tracks and prints out when all the maintenance is due for every pump and motor and blower and everything that we have, and it tells the staff when you're supposed to do required maintenance. But it also keeps track of all of our sampling requirements and our permit requirements. Those are very complex, and in the past we've missed some key things that we should have caught. And that Op-10 software will enable us to track everything that we're supposed to be doing. It's all part of that environmental audit compliance thing that I had him do. And so he'll share that next month in January. The facilities ranch work. Carlos continues to do a great job out there. Carlos also works really closely with FFRP, and he works closely with PROS, and he just does a really, really good job out there. Now, before we go to Bob, because Bob's probably going to need 5 minutes or so or 10 minutes to go on, if you have any questions about the current goals, President Berenger, if you'd like me to answer them, I'd be more than happy to.
Well, I also have a slip to speak, and perhaps we get Bob first, and then we'll get a public comment, and then I'll bring it back. Okay.
And if I could, just really quick before I forget, APG, do you have that that graph that that I discussed earlier? Well, this is different. This is the one that was derived out of the Conservation Committee. So the question was asked, what impact do we have, what impact did we believe that the restrictions for outdoor irrigation had on production? Okay? So on the bottom you'll see Tuesdays and Thursdays and things like that. Well, if you notice, and I don't have a clicker, but I think you kind of get the gist of it, the water department, I'm not good with those, I'll let you do it. The water department put this together, Justin and Mike Finnegan, and Director Rice actually was the one that came up with this idea, and it was relatively easy to put together. And the question was, oh, I water on a Thursday, at least I think I'm supposed to, so I'm watering on a Thursday, and then if you have an odd number, you water on a Tuesday. But even with those two days included, we're still seeing a reduction in overall production. So to answer Tina's question on with those two extra days, why did we still see a trend downward in production? I would attribute it to hopefully, and I don't have any empirical data to support this, so it's just speculative at this point. I would attribute it to the public outreach and the willingness on everybody to conserve water. So I don't know if there's any questions on this. It should have said daily production October 24th, 2013 to present. And it went all the way up to, I don't have a copy of it in front of me, it went all the way up to, I think, December 17th or so. So we know that, we can assume, from this data at least, that the restrictions that the board put in place did make a difference. So with that, I'll turn it over to Bob, and then if any more questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Director Thompson, do you have a question on this particular issue?
Yeah, I would like to second your comment on that, Mr. Gruber, in terms of the carryover of conservation practices after the restrictions were modified, because I know I still have my bucket in the shower, and I think many folks in town did continue to exercise conservation practices after we lifted the restrictions somewhat.
I have a question. What's the purple line and the red line on there, on that chart? What is that supposed to be? I didn't see a key, so I couldn't see. Oh, I see. I guess the one I have on here was the total usage, and that's in units, right? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. President Berenger, congratulations, and the rest of the board, happy holidays. I'll go through the different projects that we've been working on and then go into the charts. I have some updated charts based on December 16th reads, which were not in your packet, that I put a couple of PowerPoint slides together on to give you, repeat much of what's in Mike's report and Jerry's report, but that's some work behind Orlando Drive, some work on Dover Lane, as well as some repairs to Lift Station B. I've also worked some on this Enhanced Compliance Action Project, which is under review with the State Board right now. And we're doing more design revisions to the drain or the sanitary sewer extension to the well SR4, which should help future operations of that facility by making it more user-friendly for our operators. And that'll probably be out to bid and built this coming summer as opposed to trying to do it this fall. So that work is in progress. I continue to scan and search for different record drawings to try to provide operations with more up-to-date information than what they've had. The second project I have identified there is the Rodeo Grounds Pump Station Replacement and Stewart Street Tank Project. We have RBF working on that. They had their surveyors out there this week, and we're responding to three different comment letters that we got from the County Planning Department, who have reviewed our preliminary land use application packet. So they want more detail, which I was expecting they would request. So I estimate we'll pull that response back together by about the third week of January next year to keep that process moving. We also had asked for a fee waiver request, which will go, I think, as a consent calendar to the Board of Supervisors in the future, but I don't know what that date is yet. So once I hear that date, I'll pass it along. So, but that work is progressing. It's been a slow process. I learned from the earlier Pine Knolls tank that if you get ahead of yourself, you could lose a lot of design budget because there's changes that get made as these things go through the land use permit application review. So it takes some patience, but we're going to wrap up that design probably by, I would say, summer of 2014, if not earlier. And it'll depend on how well the permit application process goes before you can determine when it can go to bid. So Jerry mentioned the long-term water supply project with the Army Corps. There's been several conference calls with them, and essentially because and besides their time and cost, we've also have been asked to directly fund the additional geohydrological modeling with CDM Smith. So we are going to package a staff report together for your January board meeting that goes into more detail on that, but I can say that the cost of those two major items can be in the order of $400,000 to $500,000. So it's a substantial amount of money to fund. So again, that will come up in the January board meeting with more of a discussion level type staff report. I did attach an updated project schedule where they did add a couple of tasks for that geohydrological modeling. So that now extends that project out. The record of decision that they show in this revised schedule is now estimated at May 18th of 2015. And that's similar to at a state level CEQA document to certifying an EIR. But that they have, yes. Yes, and that is attached to this report. And there's, we also received an updated engineering technical memo from CDM Smith and the Corps that describes all the various alternatives and the concepts and the screening process we went through with the workshops in 2012. And I believe the plan is to present that to the Water Alternatives Ad Hoc Committee meeting, next meeting they have, and then provided they're okay with that, we would make that a public document and put it on our website so we'd share that with the rest of the public. And I did put in some updated cost estimates that came out of that latest effort and compared it to the earlier cost estimates that were presented as part of the workshop 4 back on September 18th, 2012. And I won't go through all the details, but the numbers have changed. Of course, costs go up with time. But the San Simon Creek Road brackish water alternative is still the lowest cost estimate of all the different viable alternatives they identified at this point. Lastly, I did attend a webinar on the 5th of December by the Department of Water Resources of California. And they have a round 3 Prop 50 grant application that I'm going to they announced. So I'm going to be working on that. That's due on the 16th of January. It's very competitive, but it's go there and made a note that the two resource conservation districts gave a combined presentation as one of those agenda items. And that's they apparently received a grant where they're applying it towards assessing environmental in-stream flow needs for
various creeks in the county to support the county's integrated resource water management plan update. So they did, one of the presentations did make several references to the Santa Rosa Creek in our watershed. So that's definitely going to get a focus of more future study and attention. And they also plan to have an interactive map at some point where you can click on a Cambria part of the map and it'll pop up a snapshot of the condition of the creek and issues dealing with steelhead and so forth. The last item I had is I developed a demand offset letter for the People Self-Help Housing Phase 2 apartment project this last period since the earlier report for last month. With that said, I can pause and see if there's any questions on those projects, and I can dive right into the water level report.
Okay. I think if you go to the water level report, and we'll
Jesse, if you
expedite
could help
things
me
here.
That up there, I'd appreciate it. And again, this is just an update from the charts that were attached to your board packet information, which came in after that went out. But I do show. Oops, we got going here. No computer. We'll give them a second to get that resolved. But the information I had was as of December 9th, which went into the agenda packet, and this updated charts are from December 16th. So, and I further added some points to one of the graphs. I know Director Rice wanted to see more detail on the level of WBE, so that will be shown here if we can get these up and running. Did that get turned off, Jesse?
Okay, just give me 1 second.
Okay, all right. Okay. One thing I will say on a positive note, you know, I personally like the frost, and it's like my dogs and I get really excited when we look outside the window and see frost, and we get to go out there. But I'm not going out in our favor, even though we don't have any rainfall, much rainfall to speak of so far. We at least have the cold weather to thank for turning those leaves yellow. They're nice, pretty colored yellow if you look out at the creek.
Right.
So that's good news.
And another reason why our production might be.
Yeah, I have to at least have some good news here. Yeah. So.
Perhaps.
Well, I can go back to the December 9th data.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, let's go to December 9th, just move things on.
Okay.
I'm not made.
And,
I don't have
and
the
Jesse,
patience.
I may have turned it off with that earlier pointer by mistake. There we go. Okay.
There it is.
Oops, we had it. Thank you. All right, next slide, please. Okay,
That's
just the levels, and I'll show these on the charts. It's too small to read, so I won't waste your time on it. Next slide, please. Production. Jerry already talked about production, so I won't get into that. Here's an updated level chart on Santa Rosa Creek from 2016 or 12/16. I just have the one point shown out there. I didn't have some earlier data points, so the SR4 is right around the 40 to 45 foot range. It varies up and down. WBE was the 3.07, as Jerry mentioned. You can see the data points were added to that lower line because I know there was a poor resolution in the past, and I really wanted Director Rice to be able to see that. There's a couple that were slightly below the 3 foot level in the summer. And I confirmed with operations that SR4 was indeed turned off at that time. So that kind of came down on its own and during that dry season. Next slide, please. This is just the statistical chart that's updated to the middle of December. And you can see the last couple of months it's been bouncing up and down. Usually it'll go up when SR4 is running and there's less pressure on the San Simeon, and it'll drop a little bit when San Simeon's running. We have SR4 off. So that's why it's got a little bit of a saw pattern at the end of that graph. Next slide. This is just the spaghetti graph, which that earlier slide is based on, but again, it at least shows you some of the different years if you really want to get into which year and how to compare different years. Next slide, please. And this is just the min-max average. So we took the The current level is in the green, again, that little saw pattern at the end, and then the average is in the black line, and then the red is the absolute minimum.
Thank you, Mr. President, and my congratulations to you and the new Vice President, and my thanks to the former President. I think you gently guided us often, even when there was great difference of opinion. I am hoping, Mr. New President, that you will bring your clock.
Next time.
Thank you. I want to try to get my four comments or five quickies in. I regret so much that we can only speak 3 minutes on the entirety of the month's report, basically. My first comment is I heard the general manager today talk about tweaking the rates, if I quote correctly. I don't think our rates need tweaking. I think our rates need a major analysis in light of the consumption of water in this town. Later in his report, the general manager says, I don't, quote, I don't have any empirical data to support this, end of quotation. You all know me well enough by now that I am yearning passionately for empirical data. I love empirical data. When you make policy decisions on the basis of amorphous data, it leaves me somewhat baffled. So I hope that the promise that was made 2 and 3 months ago by the general manager to bring hard data on water use in this town to your board meeting for consideration actually happens. Number two, on page 23 of your report, there's reference to Enhanced Compliance Action Project under review by the State Water Resources Control Board. I would be very happy to have some details about that. Why are they reviewing us, and what exactly is the enhanced compliance action, differing perhaps from the ordinary compliance action or even from the less than ordinary compliance action? I just want to say I hope that you have all seen the ad for Kmart with jingle bells. I think it's one of the funniest things to hit the TV screen in a very long time, and it is under competition only with the report on the Army Corps of Engineers. I think this is one of the funniest things I've encountered in a very long time. I will not sing jingle bells, and I am not of the right sex to do the jingle bells ad, I assure you. Now, later you're going to look, well, you won't because you didn't lift it from consent. Prop 50, in that resolution that you probably will just adopt, it says that only desal and brackish water are the projects that have your approval. Yet we are paying perhaps $400,000, maybe, to Army Corps of Engineers to study five projects, not two. It says at the bottom of the ad, pardon me, I don't need glasses, I can't see to read, thank you to our event sponsors, Rabobank, the Cambrian, and CCSD. I would like to have in a report in the near future what it means for the utility of Cambria to be a sponsor of an event such as this, glorious though the event be. How do you decide what to sponsor? And maybe you should start sponsoring some programs for the schools. Or maybe, I don't know, for an aged population. Or how do you decide, friends, of what you will be a sponsor in light of water and sewer? Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Dickinson.
Well, you know, last night I went to this old Santa Rosa Chapel and enjoyed a marvelous concert. And it took me back to my days when I sang professionally and was a musician. And it brought such joy. And I thought to myself, do I really want to go to the CCSD meeting tomorrow to spoil what I experienced last night? But I care about this town. I care about what is not happening that needs to happen. I have an absolute singular, but I think it could be multiplied multifold, vote of no confidence of this board, of our engineer, and I'm getting to the point where the GM too. And I think the town needs to take a serious look at what's going on, because we only know part of what's going on. We have to guess a lot of it, but just enough to hear from. I look at the reports. When the agenda came out last week, I looked at it. And I saw that you were not going to get anything, forget even an EIR, you'd be lucky if you get an EIS from the Army Corps, May 18th of 2015. And like we said when the $166,000 check Some of us were there in room 204 at the CCSD building. Don't write the check. But oh no, it was written. And now they're coming back for close to $500,000, if not $500,000, and it will be more, and you will never get anything. So to put this town in financial jeopardy, as well as jeopardy with our water, if you folks go along with the Army Corps of Engineers in your dream world that they're ever going to do anything for you, dream on. But in the meantime, Cambrians for Change are holding their next meeting January 20th at 5:30 at Rabobank, and we, Unity Corral Performance, conducting sites to the Fiscalini Ranch, meeting with the executive director of the Fiscalini Ranch, attending a shared committee ad hoc meeting with CCSD, PROS meeting, conservation ad hoc committee, tourism board with Linda Finley, met with Kathy Tanner, met with Mel McCulloch to discuss Cambria Pines bungalows. Really? And if this man got 5% and you didn't even have a question about him getting 5%, and this is what we get in our reports. It's shocking, and it has to stop, and we're going to find a way to stop it. Thank you.
Thank you. I just got another request to speak. Mary Webb.
I too really wish that we could divide up the general manager's report from the engineer's report, because it's not enough time to comment. When you put them both together like that, everything that we really want to hear is in those two reports, and there's just not enough time to speak on every single topic that's included in both of those. On
that.
The rodeo grounds pump station, I had a lot of issues with that project, and wrote a letter when the first EIR came out. With the redesign of it, it still has not been completely redesigned, and the entire project has gone to the county and is now going to go to the Land Use Committee of the North Coast Advisory Council, which I'm also on. And I don't know how we can analyze that project if we don't have the design for the project to analyze, because the project as it stands is still referring to the Water Master Plan of 2008 and a quality of life increase of 50%, and there's no new EIR for the pipelines, for the redesign of the fire flow, and it's a problem. I don't know how the Land Use Committee can make a determination based on a reference to an old EIR that's no longer valid, that refers to a water master plan that is no longer valid. I've lost confidence, you know, not necessarily in the general manager yet, but the district engineer. I'm sorry. I just do not think we even need this position as a full-time position here anymore. The data is wrong. The projects are not redesigned. To have him be a weatherman at this point and to tell us what color the willows are turning is just very frustrating for me. The water levels, when he does give the report, he doesn't even highlight. Even if we did get it, it's only $7 million. It's not enough to pay for a project. No, absolutely not one more dime should go to the Army Corps of Engineers. We're opposed to the $166,000, much less $500,000. And I think, you know, the past board knows that. Hope Merle was there. The director, Clift, was there. He knows how opposed the community was to giving the $166,000 whatever, how many years ago that was. I'm also concerned about the loss of employees in the administration, especially with Kathy Choate and Jim Adams. Now I'm actually really worried that you have two family members that are controlling a lot of what's going on in the office. One of those roles, it has to do with issuing water meters, and those water meters are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I think you need some other kind of oversight over the two relatives that are now working in the office. And absolutely no more money should go to the Army Corps. Thank you.
Thank you. Any board members would like to discuss? We'll start with Mr. Clift.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the chart on the Santa Rosa Creek well levels that March 15th, 2013, showing the drop on that. There is no, unless I'm not reading something right, historical or reference point to where, you know, the, where is a safe level of draw from that well. I know you have the monitoring at the other end, but if this is if this goes down to 25 feet, is that a potential problem later on, or do we have any rules relative to what how much we can other than the actual volume rule that we have during the dry period? I don't have a reference to where this is going, and that's my only question there. And I would like to have something like that in the future, whether it's where has been the average of this well over the period of time, or where is the safe yield to keep, or is the only safe yield worried about this WEB well? That's, and I don't know that you can answer that right now. But
okay, I'll. On that chart that I includes with the package, the rules that apply to SR4 are habitat related primarily. You know, if you were affecting a habitat, you'd shut down, which is why one of the primary reasons we watch WBE so closely, and we now have that automated to shut that thing off if we get at the 3-foot level. So it now happens automatically where it will not run if that WBE well level goes at 3 or less. The historically, what I've seen at SR4 is down in the 30s as far as its level. So what I need to do is take the time to construct the same type of statistical chart that we show for probably San Simeon. I show the 75 and 25 percentile and the average and get that to you in front of you so you could see that. You know, I've done this kind of empirically just looking at past years, but I haven't had time to put that type of detailed chart together. So maybe for the next board meeting, I can make a commitment to get that in front of you. But that's the long and short of it. I've looked at the average production out of the SR4 well, and know that we're still well below that by about 30, 35 acre feet for the last 6 years. When I look at how they've been operating it empirically, but I don't have a good solid model number like I do for the San Simeon aquifer. But
what you're saying here is that if the SR3 and the SR1 continue at a consistent run here, then that does not just give you concern about the drop of SR4.
Right. It's telling me I you know, we're not going to be pulling salt seawater in because they're still at a healthy level. But again, when you get up further in elevation with the SR4, it's the habitat concerns that really drive that.
Okay.
I could add a little bit if I could respond just sure. briefly to the rotary grounds pump station concern that Ms. Webb raised. I mean, there's been an update to the design that has lowered the fire flow numbers back in January of this year. So they did revise the design of both rotary grounds pump station and the Stewart Street Tank 3 project. There's going to be all that is going to be answered probably around the third week of January. I mean, we're updating the responses to the county, and that's pretty much I think it'll become much clearer to her and others that are watching this closely.
Okay, thank you. Director Rice?
I would like to agree with a couple of the commenters who said that there's a lot going on in these reports, and I usually do take a pretty close look at these and spend a fairly significant amount of time both before the meeting, the week of the meeting, and at the meeting addressing these things, and it might be better if it were split for a couple of reasons, and I understand a reason why it may not be, which probably has nothing to do with, just has to do with getting through the meeting. Question, first thing is I fully support becoming a district of transparency, but is this something, this certification, something we should really be working on right now when we don't even know who's going to be filling the position of district clerk and we've got a bunch of other legal things that our district council is going to be working on? it seems like, and we're working on getting our policies together for these other things. I mean, it just seems, I fully support being transparent in our actions, and I fully support us pursuing a certification from an organization that can verify some of the things that we're doing for transparency reasons. But it seems like maybe this isn't the best time to be taking extra time and energy toward that certification. We can be working toward being more transparent just in our daily actions. It just seems like maybe that our time and energy should be focused on other things. That's just a comment. Question from page 16. Is the admin tech one referred to there currently an existing but empty position? Talks about working on filling a position. It's on page 16.
That's correct. We're recruiting for that position.
Is it currently an open existing position?
Well, if you look at the way that I structured the office, Courtney moved in the conservation position. The position that was being filled by Courtney is being backfilled by Susie. She's going to take over billing. And then Susie's position was a full-time position, so we're reducing those hours and replacing that position, but without a full-time position. So, again, it's to reduce the overall cost of the administrative department. And that position in particular was made available by the lateral transfer of Courtney into conservation and then Susie into backfilling.
So it is an existing but open position.
Absolutely, and it was a position approved by the board. And the other two things, if I could just really quick, mm-hmm. that's really up to the president if he wants to separate the reports. I don't have a problem with that. I think we found the meetings were going 5 hours and almost getting up to 6 hours. Mm-hmm. Even with one regular agenda item, we're approaching an hour and a half, but we can do whatever the board president. And then one of the goals adopted by the board was to become those two districts, and so that was a board adopted goal. As far as the time goes, the majority of the time has been spent by board members attending conferences and things like that. So there's been a lot of work and effort gone into that. It's really a minimal amount of work at staff to continue on that process. Now, if the board wants to not have that as a goal, then we can just eliminate or not carry that goal forward. But it was the only reason it's being pursued is because it was an adopted goal of the board.
So I raise that here, and then when we discuss the goals next month or whenever we do, I raise that I have a concern about that particular. Third, working with the Army Corps of Engineers seems to be a little bit like wrestling a gorilla. You don't stop when you want to. You stop when the gorilla wants to. And I personally am really looking forward to a time when we have an agendized discussion about whether we continue to pour more resources into this and whether we're ever going to get anywhere on it, or we need to, because sometimes the best way forward is to turn around and not continue down the road that if you're going the wrong way. So I really look forward to that discussion, and I wanted to raise that comment. Question for Bob on the review of people's self-help housing. Is it designed to be as efficient as possible? And when I saw the plans last time at the North Coast Advisory Council meeting, it had landscape irrigation but no tank for collecting rainwater or other indication that they were going to be using non-potable water for irrigation. I mean, everybody wants a property to look nice. Do not get me wrong about that. But should we really be allowing them to have an irrigation system without having some kind of catchment or not access to non-potable for that? So, question.
Sure, answer that if you
feel. Okay. I always defer to the board president to make sure I can respond. I'm old school. I'm old-fashioned. Call me what you want. The people self-help housing, it's a fairly lengthy letter, but one of the conditions, there's a couple of conditions in there I wrote. One is no use of potable water for outdoor irrigation, and that they add cistern or cisterns as necessary for trucked-in water. and that it be non-potable water. They're also required to put in purple pipe, which is used for recycled water, and to stub that out to the street. The reason being that back in 2004, when we did our recycled water master plan, we had shown a pipeline going to the middle school on Schoolhouse Lane. So even though we don't have funding for that, the thought is in the future, maybe that could become part of that same feed to the middle school if we ever finish that recycled water conceptual master plan to get water to that point. So that's the way we left it. There's also some wording in there about the fact that for the playing field, they have to use synthetic turf as opposed to regular playing grass. And so it's pretty tightly worded. And then, of course, the indoor water use, they have to meet our current level of standards.
Okay. So you are making sure that we've minimized as much as possible.
Definitely.
The yes. impact of that fairly large project that we can't say no to.
Yes.
And that we need.
Okay. Any other board members have questions or comments? Director Cliff?
Yeah. You talked about in the long-term water supply with the Army Corps of Engineers here. If they are basically out of money at this point and they're asking to extend or implying that it will extend beyond, is the amount of money they're requesting just to get up to what it was before, or is it contemplating the extension that they're taking us out to 2015?
It's to get out to the 2015 point and have the entire EIS completed at that point, including going through public review, responding to public comments, meeting with the regulatory agencies. There's a number of steps they outline in their schedule and their internal review. So it was to get through the whole process of the EIS, which is spanning a couple, you know, over a year, year and a half, 2 years' time.
I would like to agree with Director Rice here that if after this initial discussion it comes back to the Water Alternate Committee, that I think that we probably ought to have a workshop or just a one meeting, one subject meeting of overall policy discussion and decision of where we're at with the Corps of Engineers. And I would suggest that it not be our regular meeting and be a separate meeting somewhere.
I think we have a gentleman who wants to comment quickly.
I agree. I mean, this dialogue and this process started about 2 months ago when I frankly just was really candid with the project team and said, you know, I keep my board and the community and we're all getting very frustrated, and I keep hearing I'm looking at a $7,000 balance. Are you guys out of money? And then I asked the question, you know, is your expectation that you expect us to finish paying for this? And that's kind of where this all started. So we're trying our best to keep the board informed. I had sent a series of correspondence from the Corps to the board yesterday. I hope you all got it and stuff. And you know, myself, I'm just as frustrated as you guys are. I really am. And so we've tried to be as open about this as possible, and I've emphasized that we are at a really important crossroads and from a policy standpoint, and so I really like the idea myself of a separate type workshop where, you know, where that is the focus, and we really, you know, talk about it and say what are we going to do from this point forward. I think that's a really good thing.
Director Robinette.
Thank you. I certainly, first of all, agree with fellow board members here. I think we all certainly have this very much as a priority to have a discussion. And a single topic meeting, I think, would be very helpful for the community and for us to really focus on that. Because some things that I would be interested in, and I've asked this one before, even if we were sort of still moving on these identified possibilities that we that the Corps gave to us. My question still is always, has anyone actually gotten it in writing from each of those that they're even really on the board or on the chart? So I still always have that question, and because I've never seen anything in writing. And the other thing is, we're at an interesting time, I think, with California for sure. And we talk about the drought here in Cambria, and the only thing I can say is it's very serious, and we have a lot of company in the whole state that's very concerned, not just right here. I have been kind of following what Dianne Feinstein is doing and proposing, and what Jim Costa, another congressperson here in the state, have been talking about, and that is declaring California a drought state. And I think that could be very helpful to know and follow that whole process, because I could almost see, because they're really wanting to declare it a disaster. And if that happens, I would like for us to have our ducks in a row to apply for any possible grants we could have and have a pretty good idea of what our water alternative is going to be and take action and be ready to go and be first in line, in fact, if that's where they're headed.
Thank you. And Director Thompson.
Yeah, I would just add that I think that because Representative Capps has been very supportive of this whole process over the years, that it's important that we include her office in a discussion and perhaps invite them to any meeting that we might have on this issue, and hopefully also invite the Army Corps to discuss. I would be curious to find out if we did say, okay, we're done, what documents, what could they give us based upon their work to date that we might then take out and sub out to someone who can do it a whole lot cheaper than the Army Corps, perhaps a lot more expeditiously.
If I could just, one other thing on that too, I also really want to make sure that Congresswoman Capps is aware of what we're doing and how much we appreciate the fact that she has tried to do what she can, tried to hang on to this. It seems that the whole focus of the Army Corps is shifting completely away from what we had in mind in the first place. And certainly we want her involved, and because maybe she can still help if the federal government or is taking a different look at California and our drought condition, she would certainly be another great support, and I wouldn't want to lose that.
Thank you. I have I'll have a member in committee report here coming up, which talks a little bit about the Army Corps, so I don't want to load on that at the moment. But in general, as far as the manager's report, I would hope that it would be smaller in the future, certainly broken up between water and water alternatives and what activities you go on. I personally think that having a general manager that assisted moving books to the new community library is the kind of general manager I like to have. In the past, I think if you went back a number of years with the previous general manager, you wouldn't see that kind of activity. And he does it on his own time. It's not taking his time away from other things. As far as proposed goals, I hope that I'll talk a little bit about them, but I hope that next month we come up with some goals. But based upon the fact that we have five, I'd prefer three, but five. I'm looking at the goals you had. You had 10 up here, and you did accomplish a comprehensive water conservation program. You did identify and improve the community's infrastructure. You're making great steps towards that. And you did continue to improve community relationships between the CCSD and the community. And I allowed you for that, or compliment you on that. Next year, there's some things that aren't completed, and I don't think they're important. We can let those go if we want. And next year, complete and revise connection fees for water and wastewater, and that's very important. Complete the rodeo grounds and Stewart Street tank project, and complete revisions of capital improvement list. Those are three things that might be on there, rather than a list of 10. So perhaps I'd be glad to work with the general manager. I'd like to take input from any board member. But
and give me 100, but I think even if we had 100, put it, write them down if you want, but there should be three things that we're going to accomplish so we actually accomplish something. And I think we've accomplished some, but we're kind of all over the board, and I'd like to be a little bit more focused. So with that, perhaps we can move on to 6B. In fact, why don't I start? There was a couple of days ago, there was a conference call with our lobbyist, and they were talking about where money could come from and how we no longer have earmarks, and Lois Capps is working real hard, and the Army Corps is being told not to work on certain projects such as ours. But it was my opinion that we've put a lot of money into this project. The Army Corps has put a bunch of money in this project. There might be some funds that some consultants can redirect in order to get us an EIR, EIS, which is very important. But it's doubtful that we're going to throw more money, after a project if we don't have a specific deliverable. And if we don't have a deliverable until 2015, the next board's going to just nix anything we approve anyway. So so I think it's important that as far as meetings go, I think another water resources ad hoc meeting we keep the same ad hoc meeting. We make sure that you don't spend too much time preparing a board packet. And if we determine that there should be an additional board or additional meeting focused only on this, maybe that can come out of that discussion. But we should do that. I don't think we can do that prior to our next board meeting. I think we can talk internally, get an agenda for next board meeting. But at the next board meeting, then we would, if it's necessary, have a single purpose board meeting. So those are just my comments on. Oh, and I also went to the PROS committee meeting on your behalf, Director. And yes, they did, in fact, approve some funds for a slight modification toward the East Ranch. And all you have to do is go to the county, get a permit, and move forward. Some members of the public pointed out that things have changed, from when the plan was finalized, but in most cases they've been reduced. So instead of having soccer fields and baseball fields, it's been reduced. So the EIR, EIS for that, if you're reducing the amount of footprint, we've gone through that particular hurdle. And so we're looking, PROS is looking for a recommendation as to slight modifications, and I believe early next year they will, in fact, start moving forward on the project. So that's my report. I forgot. As a policy, we normally have public comment prior to the item. So before we continue on 6B, Elizabeth Bettenhausen has a comment. I agree with that. However, I would like to be able to include in our comments, perhaps responding to what you have to say. And the good news is we have two chances to comment. So at the end, we have a continuation of public comment, and in this case, that'll allow you to make an additional comment.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, I'll wait until the end.
Thank you.
No,
I'm giving you an opportunity now to talk prior to the, or you can also talk at the end of the meeting.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Any other committee reports?
Are we going to talk about conservation, or you want to talk about it?
That's up to you. I'm reporting there's no North Coast Advisory Council meetings in December, and so that I did not attend a North Coast Advisory Council meeting this month.
Okay. Why don't we share the conservation meeting, because we did have one this month, and we appreciate that. And it was good, kind of a long meeting, but good. And some of the things that we discussed in conservation was some public comments during the time that we have had the storage tanks at the skate park, and what we might do about it. Some people had felt that they're pretty much wish they were relocated to an accessible place, still CSD property, because they just felt that they look bad on Main Street. They do look bad on Main Street. And so we discussed that and brought it up, and hopefully those are going to move off. The one at the skate park is scheduled to be moved off when?
I think we discussed within the next month or so, but that's kind of directly proportional to the rain that we hopefully will get. And the one at the nursery is gone, and so I think the direction I got next month or so, January, February time frame.
My understanding was not from the people making the comment that they wanted access to the non-potable water gone, but they were hoping that maybe we had some other places that would be available to us besides just right where it was on at the skate park, for many good reasons, I thought, too. They weren't suggesting get rid of the option to use the water. So that's where I'm kind of still hopeful that we'll look at that. And I know that Director Rice had a very good idea with the tanks, too, just in addition to how they look right now, is really perhaps having them somehow decorated a little bit so that people could really associate it with conservation. And it would be aesthetically so much more pleasing. And think of the artists that live in Cambria. I mean, what a nice community project that would be for them. I mean, it's not something you'd want me to try to paint. But anyway, and the only other thing that was pretty much the part that I'm going to report on. Oh, and I will say on the graph for the water, too, we both kind of discussed that and what we wanted. And maybe we can work each month on how we make graphs. Actually, when we do have data collection, it is empirical data. It is always good when you have a graph, and I've said this a few times before, you really have to have some interpretation of the graph, some out-of statements, you know, really what is it telling us type of thing, too. So those are just kind of continuing conversations.
Okay. Before Director Rice talks, I changed my mind, Mrs. Bettenhausen. That's a stupid thing. I mean, obviously, you didn't even know what we're talking about. So please, you'll be able to have your comment after this is done. Yeah.
I love transparency, too, so thank
you. just to report what the topics that we did talk about at the conservation meeting, besides the dissatisfaction of some people with the way the tank looks, we did get an update from Courtney on what we've been what they've been doing at staff level to try and make sure. She's very excited. She's gotten a lot of training. She's recently gone to a conference and talked to a lot of people from Southern California and a lot of districts that do have a lot of different programs and how their programs are working. So she's looking forward to 2014 being a year when she can move forward with some of these kinds of projects that are outside of what we've already been trying to accomplish. She's planning to participate in the Fix a Leak Week, which happens in March, and that's like a nationwide campaign that happens. She's been doing audits starting with the large water users of the at the hotels. She's still working through getting those done because it's time-consuming because they address what the business case is for the hotel to do the retrofitting that needs to be done to reduce their water use. And it usually is a fairly significant change in the amount of money that they are putting out for water every other month. She also talked about working on getting to the data entry for that. We are a member of the California Urban Water Conservation Council, and part of being a member of that organization is we report our data into the best management practices program database that they have, and that's supposed to be as a result of things we're already doing. So we're getting the data together. We're going to be talking about the retrofit point program and which kinds of things are really appropriate to be counting for actual reduction of water use, whether or not it's something that we should be counting shower heads versus washing machines. There were a lot of folks that took advantage of a rebate that we had for the water tanks to transport the non-potable water, and 22 washing machines in October and November that folks got rebates for, and I hope that continues, because that kind of thing will make a pretty large dent in the amount of water that we use without changing too much in the quality of life that we have here. She also wants to promote a drought-tolerant yard and a test garden here somewhere here in Cambria. So if you know of anybody that is in the garden community and into gardening who would like to participate in something like that, please send them toward the district, toward Courtney, or toward the general manager, so that we can. We would really like to involve anybody in the community who is a gardener, who is a person that either already has or would like to have rain catchment or drought-tolerant plant, xeriscaping, whatever. So they would like to have a demonstration garden. And they're also talking about creating a water budget program for residents that use over 20 units of water per billing period. So there's a lot going on that when we have these meetings. It was long, but I think it was informative and useful. And in terms of getting us to a place on the ad hoc committee, getting us to a place of understanding of what the staff is trying to do to address our requests at a policy level, to try and make sure that we're doing the best we can in terms of supporting people who want to save more water than they already are. So that's I look forward to that committee potentially being a standing committee instead of an ad hoc committee, so that we can have those reports included in a more formal way. Thank you.
Director Clip.
Yes, I attended a committee meeting regarding shared services with the healthcare agency. It was facilitated by Mr. Church from the LAFCO, and we met with Director Putney from healthcare, and the attorneys both for the healthcare and us, and we went through a lot of things relative to command and control and how things could work. That's leading now to some more discussions and some more things for the legal community more than anything else. And so we're working forward on that, and things are looking good. Everybody has the same goal. The problem is more of a legal problem than anything else, and meeting those legal challenges is probably what the problem's going to be.
Thank you. Director Thompson.
Yes, and also from the Shared Services Committee is the item 7E, which would be the dissolution of the administrative agreement with the health district. They're in the process of hiring their person to be their administrator, and so it's appropriate at this time to terminate that agreement and to give Chief Miller a little bit more free time to concentrate on fire issues. So but that's the item under 70 from that committee.
Thank you. Any other reports? If none, we have public comment from Elizabeth Bettenhausen, followed by Mary Webb.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I commend you for understanding me more than many of my colleagues in the past ever have. Thank you. I have two questions about the Conservation Committee, and I, too, devoutly hope that it will be turned into a standing committee so that I don't have to bring up some of these items all the time, because I will have participated in the public meetings with agenda and minutes of the standing committee. But I have two questions. Does the Conservation Committee ad hoc, in its current state, ever discuss the data for of use for all meter holders in Cambria and how it should be reported? Two, does the Conservation Committee ad hoc ever discuss what kind of rate question you might propose the whole board to consider? Do you recommend anything about the scope of tiered rates? Do you recommend anything about perhaps using rates rather than rebates as a way to address my ancient concern as a professor of ethics and theology, friends, the nature of human disposition? And I can't afford a Lexus that will now stop if I can't. Well, I don't drive, given my brain. But you keep focusing on ways to make this palatable for the affluent. Don't change the quality of life of those who are really enjoying Little Cambria. Well, friends, it might be that you are not going to get serious conservation going here in a possibly long-term drought without looking at MONEY. And that is a big question that I urge this committee, ad hoc or standing, to address as a recommendation to the board in the near future. Thank you.
Mary Webb, yeah, thanks for allowing us to speak again, because it is helpful to hear what you're talking about, and I didn't bring any of my data with me. The long-term water supply meeting, I hope that will be a community meeting just to talk about maybe where we are and where we're going to go. Or I didn't know if you were just talking about having some kind of a meeting, but just for the board. I totally agree and did read this article, too, about Senator Feinstein and what her interest was, and that is storage. And I am totally on board with that. I think many in the community are. We have been for a long time. I know it may not look like it now because we have no rain now, but had we had storage the last 20 years, I don't think we'd be in this position that we're in now. So, I mean, it looks like maybe the wrong year to try to be doing it, but we have to do it. We have to have storage. We're going to have storage also, even if we have brackish water, treatment of wastewater. We've got to have some place to store it. And I just think that was a highlight of the article that I read, and I think there will be money for that, emergency money. And I absolutely agree with you, Director Robinette, that we needed to have a shovel-ready project a long time ago when we never did. It was the cart before the horse all the time, and we really need to get our ducks in the row and make sure that we are ready when money does come down the pike, that we know exactly, and the community is agreeing with what that project is going to be. And that's always been the problem in the past. We need to have agreement in the community. That way you're not going to have a $5 million EIR. You won't have the protests in an EIR if the community is in agreement with what the final decision is made on the solution. The EIRs go a lot quicker and are a lot cheaper when you don't have 17,000-page arguments made against the choice. Also think that the conservation, I'm really pleased that we went forward with conservation, and I didn't want to leave on this terrible note. You know, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Conservation is also, we totally needed to do it. You've totally put your money behind that. I really think that was such a great way to go, and really, really appreciate. We have a conservation officer. I can totally see that this is going to be really good savings in the future. I do want to see more reports on that, but I think that's going to be coming next year. And those were all recommendations in the Green Space report with the Fryer report, too. Many of the things you've done this year were in the Fryer report, and so I really commend you for that. I think you did a really, really wonderful service to the community by doing a lot of the things that needed to be done that were not done before. The only other thing with conservation is if there is rebate money left over for washing machines and things like that, maybe we need to be looking at doing rebates for replacing the lawns and doing the drought-tolerant landscaping, and work with the county in getting the county to forbid the lawns, the planting of lawns. That's been a recommendation by the Coastal Commission, by many different agencies for a long time, that we should just be outlawing lawns completely. And I know a new person in town just put in a lawn, you know, not too long ago, last summer. We were doing another site visit for North Coast Advisory Council, and he was out there in the middle of the day. He goes, I'm out here every 2 hours because I want to make sure my lawn is going to work. It was very sad to watch. But anyway, thank you. And the three goals for next year, that's a great idea. 3 instead of 100. Yeah, that great idea. Thank you.
Tina Dickinson.
Okay, a couple of things on the rain tank that's at the skate park. I have absolutely no problem with the location of that. I think it's a central location. There's room for people to park. It doesn't look bad to me. Maybe it bothers some because Cambria's out of water and there's a big tank there. But it's very convenient. I don't think it needs to be decorated. If you have a problem with Main Street, just take a look at that old trailer park. If you want to look at something that's quite ugly. That's been there for years. No one's ever said anything about that. So I think that's one thing that we can, you know, that's a minor, trivial thing. It's providing water for people who need it for their yards. It's there, and the CCSD is paying for it. Great. On page 38 of expenditures, there are a number of items that go from September the 17th to November the 12th, all to do with the water department, wastewater department, for bacteria and organic analysis. I have to wonder, General Manager, I did send you a couple of emails about the Engineer Gresham's regarding the non-potable water site on San Simeon Creek Road. Were these analyses done at that site on those wells? You referred to one or two wells. I'm sorry.
Mr. Dickinson, you already spoke on that 6A.
This is 6A and B. You combined them. You allowed Ms. Bettenhausen to...
Okay, I'll tell you. If it concerns the Conservation Committee, which was a committee report, feel free to do that.
I think this is pretty important to know about these analyses.
Continue.
So I'm just waiting for Nancy to find out what those were.
You can make a comment, and then the general manager can get back to you.
Okay. When?
When, Mr. Gruber?
I'd have to see which those are. They could be for our wells too. So right. I don't have an answer right now.
Right.
Organic analysis. The community wants to know what
continue.
Is in our.
Please continue.
This is important.
Yes. Please continue.
That's what it. It's really quite unbelievable. You want a transparency award? You don't need it. You don't earn it. The other items that I had were for rate structure. You need to really work on that, okay? Yeah, you've got a thumbs up on that one, no problem. But when? You've been on the board now for 2 years, you guys, and nothing has happened. I would say revenue must be down because you're not getting the revenue in from the sale of water. And by the way, 2012, we used 57.6-something for the month of November acre feet, and we had rainfall. So how do we come up with 52.11 for November of this year when we've been restricted to watering and there's been no rain? 0.24 inches. It gets very frustrating. We need answers. Thank you.
Now I believe if there aren't any other comments, we're going to move to the consent agenda. And if I could get a motion for that.
I would move approval of the consent agenda with item 7C. Pulled.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, first and second. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And we have 7C. I have a request to speak on 7C. And Ms. Bettenhausen, please. Because I do want to understand, I want to hear your concerns so that we can address them when we talk.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I keep forgetting that I'm supposed to say my name, and I live here. My name is Elizabeth Bettenhausen, and I live on Plymouth Street with 4,322 cactus. just thrown in for the edification of my perspective. I want to raise a question about 7C, while several. My first question is, on page 52, the statement is made, the district clerk position will not be filled. Why? Is it strictly a financial decision not to fill that position? The second question is, when will the deputy district clerk / district secretary job description be available to us, and when will it be made public for applications to be submitted for that position? How will it be advertised? Then the next question is, on that same paragraph, what does it mean when it says the exact amount of savings is contingent on that position to be hired, contingent on the deputy district clerk / district secretary to be hired, comma, qualifications and family size, as these factors affect the beginning salary and benefits? I would like to know the policy of this district on what factors you take into account when you determine initial salary. If somebody has 14 children, all of them marvelously foster kids adopted, does that up their salary? If they're single and haven't reproduced for the welfare of the climate, does that, who knows, what does family size mean there? Then I'd like to recall for you that on June 27, 2013, you did adopt a new policy as a board, giving the general manager very, very, very great powers for all hiring of staff, as well as for stipulating what the positions are. I realize that right now you have very little power with regard to this resolution, but I would hope that you would, as a board, want what is at the bottom of many of the back historical documents here, a list of all your resolutions that you passed with regard to staff, what positions there should be, and who has what authority in terms of appointing or not appointing them. Because those documents accidentally got put in an agenda. And I happen to have a nice historical list that I didn't create. It was right there, but it never came to you then, so far as I know. But if you get mailings from the staff, as you apparently did on Army Corps, a whole bunch of correspondence, when does that become public? Just like when does it become public what the history is here on staff positions? I really hope that you will pay attention to the need that the community, I can't make that kind of universal statement. I don't know what the community needs. I know what I need. I need a list of the current positions in CCSD staff, which ones are filled, by whom, and what the status is of the gray shaded ones. Do they just pop up for approval if the general manager wants it? It's very ambiguous, people. And I'm getting too old to tolerate too much ambiguity anymore. I like things straightforward, like the bones that I found on the beach the other day, but I won't tell you about them. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bettenhausen. And with that, general manager, and in the future, I will try and have you introduce the item so that the comments might be covered in your introduction, but this is my first day.
It's your first day on the job.
And okay. By the way, I started the clock on you.
did you want to allow for Director Rice to just
that would be,
and then I can, or do you want me to introduce it?
Let me do that.
Okay.
Director Rice, perhaps explain why she wanted this pulled, so that you can then introduce the item.
Well, I have to be thankful for Ms. Bettenhausen because she did raise some of the questions that I have, and we don't have a lot of power regarding staffing, and that's by design, by state law. Our role is to set and implement and make sure that the policy is implemented appropriately by the general manager. And my concerns on this item are many, but the ones I'm going to raise are specifically related to policy and my concerns related to policy are found in the personnel policies, procedures, and rules, which is referenced in the currently active MOU. Okay, this is our policy. It is old. It needs to be updated, as one of our goals last year was to begin work on that, but we haven't. And I don't know whether the policy that we passed in July that Ms. Bettenhausen referenced is negates some of this, so you'll have to let me know if that's the case. But it says a new position shall not be created and filled until the classification plan has been amended and to provide therefore, and an appropriate employment list is established for such position. I have a couple of problems with the fact that there's no job description for this position, even though it seems to be taking on a lot of the responsibilities of district clerk, but not all of them. I'm concerned for making sure that our general manager has the staff to be able to implement the policies that we want to see happen, and does reducing this, the job responsibilities of this, does that increase the job responsibilities somewhere else? I would imagine that it would have to, that because those things wouldn't go, those things that need to get done wouldn't necessarily go away. It doesn't refer to it. I'm very disappointed that there's no even a range of what it might cost the district. I mean, families could be up to 14 kids, but that still gives us a range of what it might be. And there are, you know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics does provide for an average. You can even do average local and state employees. Gives you a percentage that is wages and salaries, and a percentage that is the benefits. That when you give compensation, you can tell it's about 65%, 35%, depending on what industry you're in. But for local state government, it's 65, 35. So we should be able to have that. There's no reference to the fact that there is no longevity pay for employees hired after October 2012, or whether there's a different tier for retirement, which I believe this board did pass as a policy. And on the currently vacant positions, do we ever eliminate them? Do we have a policy on that, or they just stay open? And the last, there's just two things that I want to read out of here, or one thing actually. Here's the policy articles that I have issues with this particular resolution. Article 5 on examinations, Article 3 on classifications, Article 4 on applications and applicants, Article 7 on method of filling vacancies, and specifically I'd just like to read these policies because I think it's important to look at. This is 10.2, promotion. It shall be the policy of the district to fill job vacancies by promotion from within the organization to the greatest degree feasible. The manager may promote an employee without normal announcement or examination procedures under the following circumstances. A previously authorized position becomes vacant. A previously authorized position becomes vacant. And a qualified district employee is on a standing eligibility list. I don't know if we have an eligibility list here in this situation. Or if a previously authorized position in the district becomes vacant and a qualified employee is not on an eligibility list but has above standard performance record, the manager may make direct promotion. This still allows for a lot of leeway for the general manager to put the right person into the position, regardless of a lot of other things in these policies. In Article 7, method of filling vacancies, it refers to a change of a temporary or a volunteer position, and here's why I bring this one up. We've had temps at the district for a while, and I don't know if somebody's going to be put into this position who's currently working for the district, and the reason I think that it might be somebody like that, would be the request that the pay is retroactive. If we don't know who's going to be in the position, why is the pay increase or change retroactive to July 1st of 2013? So if we do know who's going to be in the position, then we should be able to get a better idea of what the fiscal impact might be. The last thing I'd like to read, and this is something that I believe Mary raised, this is 4.5 in the policies manual. Application restrictions. An applicant will not be considered for any non-elected position if the applicant is a member of the immediate family of or a member of the board, or if the applicant has a member of his or her immediate family already employed with the district. I'm concerned that we are setting ourselves up for problems because there are policies that are clearly delineated that are not being observed and implemented, especially in this particular case. I don't think this should be approved this month. There are too many questions that need to be answered for me personally. And if the rest of the board doesn't feel that those concerns are valid, then I'm willing to go along with what the rest of the board's position is. But that's where I am on that one.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me have the time to do that.
Thank you, Director Rice. I think that you brought up some
in front of me. I just can't answer a lot of those questions. One of the things I can answer is that the board did agree that I don't have to bring job descriptions back to the board for approval. And that was based on the confidence that you have in me to hire qualified employees for the district. So we brought this forward, and it's been my experience as I look at positions within the organization, especially this position as a clerk, and I really want to focus on the position and not any one individual, is that we're a small district, and I looked at it as an opportunity to really save the district some money. Ultimately, whoever we hire may or may not have the opportunity to become a clerk. For an example, when I was city manager in Atherton, that was an incorporated city, and for many years we had a deputy city clerk because we felt that the position did not warrant a city clerk, and ultimately we created that position to be a city clerk, and so I'm just downgrading the position at this time. So we took the existing job description of the district clerk that I thought was very poorly written, just like a lot of our job descriptions are very poorly written, and it's just a historical thing. They've been passed on and they've been, you know, written, and so what we did is we took this opportunity as the district clerk was transitioning out to really include a very comprehensive and meaningful job description, and that's available, and it's a public record, and anybody can have a copy of that. I just want to go over some of the other things. The 14 kid thing, I apologize for not having a breakdown on that. What it is if you're a single person, the medical benefits for a new hire are considerably less than if you have family members. I don't have those figures right in front of me. So there's really three categories. There's single, there's married, and then there's married with dependents. And the dependent is the most expensive one. Let me see. A new hire who was previously not a PERS employee, for an example, if you didn't work for a public agency before, the retirement formula would be 2 at 62, and that was legislatively by Jerry Brown. That's 2% at 62 for every year you work, you get 2%. If you're a previous employee for PERS, you would be 3 at 60, which and I hire good people, and I'll continue to hire good people. And so I need you to have that confidence, because really the question is if you're waiving on that, then I think there's a bigger issue than if I'm going to put the right person in this position, whoever that may be. So I want you to continue to have the confidence in me that I'm going to hire the right people, and if the right people aren't currently employed in the organization and they, you know, so I just need that support from you that I'm going to do the right thing.
I would like to, if I may. I don't want to have a full discussion right now, but I do want to address, I have full confidence that you will hire the right person. Where my confidence is a little shaky is that we are following the rules and procedures and policies that a board of this district has approved and is supposed to be used when we're dealing with hiring and adding positions to the district. There's a current employee that has been getting training for district clerk, and if that training isn't going to be used for the district clerk position, that might be another policy issue. If we're doing training and spending money on training for an employee that is in a position, because there is a specific position that we can hire somebody and put somebody who's not necessarily qualified for a position, the board can approve a position that's like essentially a learning position, a work experience position, that then you can have the person go through training, and it's a valid thing, and it's part of the policies to be able to have something like that. And I fully support having qualified people. I fully support employee training, and I just am concerned. I'm concerned not about your ability to pick people. That is not what, because it's not about people. It's about the policies, because staffing is your job. Policies and making sure that our policies are being properly implemented by you is our job. So I'm trying to stay within that, and that's where my concern and my lack of confidence, not in your ability to pick somebody for the job. That's not where my confidence is flagging.
And President Berenger, if I could, I really appreciate Director Rice's comments. You know, we were at a very difficult crossroads during this time, and I remember when I got the phone call, you know, Kathy's shoes were really big to fill. I mean, you know, what do you do? I mean, I always say you could find another general manager or a district engineer, but when your clerk leaves, you know, that's where the rubber hits the road, and when Lee Manor. So, you know, I can appreciate what you're saying.
Thank you. I've got a comment, a question, and a suggestion. The comment is that the enabling legislation for a special district specifically requires that the board set policy and the general manager does all of the hiring and firing and personnel issues. That's the comment. The question is, in hiring, when you talk about family size, is that discriminatory? In other words, can you select one person because they're single as opposed to somebody that has a large family? I hope that I'm not interpreting that.
Absolutely not. Okay. And I think the language could have been
right.
Better.
That is just addressing a question that Mrs. Bettenhausen might be. She wants to know precisely how much are we going to pay that person, and we just don't know because we don't know who we're hiring.
Okay. Correct, and that's only directly proportional to the amount that the district pays pays towards health care retirement. You know, and I've had this conversation before in many other organizations in city. You know, that's really an irrelevant matter, right? Because you pay a set amount, and that's something that we can evaluate. You know, it doesn't really matter. You know, a set amount is paid by the district, and anything above and beyond that isn't paid by the employees. So
okay,
that's something
you.
We can look at.
Thank you.
And keep in mind that reference in the staff report is related to the analysis of fiscal impact,
right, okay,
and is simply indicating that it's hard
to
evaluate fiscal impact without knowing exactly who's being hired and what benefits they're getting. That's all.
Right. And because it's so difficult for us to control people, or to control hiring, or even questioning employees, which is disturbing to me, I want to make sure that we do, in fact, have policies in place that allow us to do more or do enough review of things. So if it's the pleasure of the board, I think that if we have a small, if we get to ad hoc committees, I think we should have someone review the policies and procedures that we kind of just delayed, make whatever small changes are appropriate, and make sure that we address those throughout the year as time comes up. So that was just my suggestion, maybe an organization chart with positions, job descriptions, and people that are filling them might be quite...
Who fills it is your decision, not ours. But my first question is, why a new position? Why not a reduction in the salary level for the district clerk? Because any person that you hire would be on a probationary period for a period of time, and so you would still have time to evaluate that person and their because it does, when I read this, it seems that the emphasis of having this different position, which I don't think we need a deputy and a clerk. We're not that ego big that we need both positions. You know, unless a deputy clerk's going to handle travel arrangements for the board, you know, or something like that. I don't think we need both positions is what I'm saying. And so it would seem to me that if the intent and purpose here is to save money, that the request really ought to be a change in the salary level of the existing position, and that any person that's hired is the discretion of the manager under the procedures that we have for hiring, and that I would rather see this just come back not as a new position but as a difference in the salary level of the district clerk position.
Thank you, General Manager. In the event we were to in other words, you would still have the authority to be able to fill the clerk's position as it is. It's written that way. And if you wanted to change its salary level, maybe you bring that back to us. It's a thought. We have an opportunity to table this until next month, or I'd entertain a motion to do anything.
I just have a comment.
Let me ask counsel if would it be is it appropriate, because it's not agendized, to go off of this into I think it probably has something that ought to come back. Right?
I think if the idea is to modify the salary of the district clerk, that would be a separate item.
All right. Okay.
It would require a separate analysis, I'm sure, regarding what would be
appropriate. And I don't have a problem with that modification, because the people that are in this higher level are supervisory people. And so if the intent and purpose is to modify the salary range by putting a new position in, why don't we just modify the salary?
It's technically a draft.
Okay. So then what we're looking at is, from the conversation with the board, is if there's going to be the position is going to be downgraded, so to speak, because it was interesting, actually. The district clerk and the administrative services officer actually were at the same level. And so deputy clerk and district secretary, that's okay. Was the need perhaps to create a new position a way then to actually downgrade that and just eliminate the term district clerk? Was that the thinking behind it?
No, my thinking was strictly from a monetary standpoint and looking at what the current position and those salaries paid. If you look at the trend since I've been general manager, let's take the utilities manager for example. That position pays lower than it previously did. The facilities and resources manager pays lower than, and it's just a direction, you know, as we evaluate positions and look at them, and as other people retire, we should probably look at those positions too and see if they're compensated appropriately based on other agencies. The position of a clerk, whether it be for a special district or a city, usually is a pretty broad responsibility, and it is for this district too. But my intentions were just to try to save the district some money and bring back a deputy. But I'm okay with Director Cliff's suggestion about reevaluating the salary range. The only concern I may have with that is that we would probably do a salary survey, and those results could come back every bit as where they are now, and possibly higher. I mean, what we would have to compare them to other cities and things like that. And then, you know, so it's whatever the board's pleasure.
Go on, or within the discretion of the general manager in terms of structuring the organization with regard to how certain things are handled and who's responsible, such as records and so on. But there's nothing in the statutes governing community service districts that even references district clerks.
Well, so then I guess I'm still just back to this. If the intent was not to really change the duties, but to change the title, and yet you're right, in the past few years, there have been a lot of positions that have been lowered, the economy, the impact on the economy, and being more in line with that. So I guess it still is, does this lowering of the money-saving aspect of this, does it require you then to have the new title, or could you have left it as district clerk?
Well, I guess it's like anything else. You could upon when I retire decide to do the general manager for 110 or so, and you'd probably get quite a few applicants. It's just really based on the response that you'll get. You know, clerks, I think city clerks or clerks in general are I kind of follow this, and you see them moving and gravitating to different cities and organizations, even within San Luis Obispo, and that's based on salary. So the only concern that I would have is that if we lowered it too much, we may not get a real strong, viable candidacy pool, because there are other opportunities there within the immediate area for them to possibly go. So that would be my only concern. In other words, you could take the district engineer's position or the fire chief's position or my position, and you could lower it down considerably, and the board has the right to do that. But there's a tipping point as far as the quality of candidates you would get, and it's such an important and critical role for the organization that I would just want to be assured that if we did go that route, that we would get a good, strong candidacy pool.
But I'm sorry, but aren't we lowering it and just changing the title?
Right, but see, there are deputy clerks, and there are clerks, and the clerk is usually, as David indicated, positions that are required for cities and things like
that. A district clerk would be eliminated from the schedule.
No.
Well, the district clerk we could remain on this schedule, but I have no intention of filling that. I don't, like President Thompson said, we don't need a district clerk and a.
But you would have the opportunity to promote, because it's already a position, right, and it's available. So you would have the opportunity to promote a person from district clerk, a deputy to district clerk.
Correct, but I think there would be some criteria that would have to be met prior to even considering that, and there are certifications that are required, and there's even a higher level of certification, which is the Master's in Municipal Clerk, and so there's milestones in that career path, just like there is anything else. And so the word clerk, you know, the district clerk position, you can, at least with this, or you can be a clerk, but you don't necessarily have to have all those certifications. But I would encourage anybody, even at the lower level position, to have at least some kind of certification, because there's a knowledge base that goes with that. So, okay. I know it's a long answer, but there's it's a career path, and just to be called a clerk, a district clerk, really. You know, as I look at the organization and the needs of the organization, would require some pretty heavy certifications to go along with that.
Well, but if we're not required by law under something like that, a district clerk is whatever we call them.
That's correct.
We technically can set the criteria for what a district clerk is.
Correct.
I mean, anything from the ability to read and write at the eighth grade level or above. And that would legally be the qualifications to be a district clerk. Right. So even though I understand what you're talking about and I understand the need to have the most professional person possible, I had some confusion as to why we just, if our intent and purpose was to save some money, why not just lower the salary and we can go from there?
And I'm receptive to that.
Listening to the discussion, it seems like tabling is an option.
Great.
And the next item is hearings and appeals. We're going to need a public hearing and consideration of adoption of Ordinance 052013. District Council? Okay. Yes, please do.
This is item 8A, correct, President? Okay.
This is item 8A.
Okay, this is a public hearing in consideration of adopting Ordinance 052013, amending Chapter 6004 of the Cambria Community Services District Municipal Code and adopting and amending the 2013 edition of the California Fire Code and the 2012 edition of the International Wildland Urban Interface Code. And then what staff's recommending, and we still do have Chief here, I appreciate Mark sitting here for 3 hours, is we would want to open the public hearing, and then we would want to receive testimony on the adoption of the ordinance amending Chapter 6004 of the Cambria Community Service District Municipal Code and adopting and amending the 2013 edition of the California Fire Code and the 2013 edition of the International Wildland Urban Interface Code. Then you would close the public hearing. You would waive further reading, read by title only, and adopt the ordinance. And then direct that the ordinance and all appropriate and required documentation be submitted to the County of San Luis Obispo for ratification by the Board of Supervisors as required by the California Health and Safety Code. So that's the process.
Thank you, Mr. Gruber. I'd like to open a public hearing regarding item 9A or 8A. Do I have any public testimony? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing. I'm going to waive further reading and read by title only and adopt
Ordinance 5-2013, amending Chapter 6.04 of the Cambria Community Services District Municipal Code and adopting and amending the 2013 edition of the California Fire Code and the 2013 edition of the International Wildland Urban Interface Code.
Second.
So it's been moved and seconded. District Clerk, would you take the roll on this one, please?
Director Rice?
Yes.
Director Clift?
Yes.
Director Thompson?
Aye.
Vice President Robinette?
Yes.
President Behringer?
Yes.
I move that we adopt Ordinance 05-2013.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, could you call the roll on that?
Director Rice?
Yes.
Director Cliff?
Yes.
Director Thompson?
Aye.
Vice President Robinette?
Yes.
Aye.
I'd like to thank the fire chief for doing a really good job putting this together. Thank you for the time and energy you put into this. And district council. Thank you, district council, also.
Okay, with
With that completed, we have regular business. Item 9A, I have a slip of for comment from Elizabeth Bettenhausen. Discuss and consider existing proposed ad hoc and standing committees.
No presentation, but I can go over it.
Why don't we hear what the general manager has in mind? It's not a presentation, but yeah, let's hear.
This item is discussing and considering existing and proposed ad hoc and standing committees. What I did is just let me go over these really quick, if you don't mind. So the first one that I have is the budget committee, and what I added to this, and this is just kind of, I just need some guidance on this. So these are just some ideas, and if you see anyone that you want to make standing or anything like that, I'm open for it. On the 2014-2015 budget. I also incorporated the rate study into that as an ad hoc. And just make notes as I go through these, and if you want to change them, alternatives ad hoc committee is really focusing on the Army Corps' four choices right now. But so that was just a thought on that. The conservation committee, met with the conservation committee, ad hoc committee, and I think it is a good idea to make it a standing committee. So I know that right here that I said staff recommends that the committee remain an ad hoc committee, and I think there's some real benefits to making it a standing committee. The shared services, that can kind of stay the way it is. That process is moving forward. The infrastructure utilities infrastructure committee changed from ad hoc to standing committee. I believe because we have so many important infrastructure related issues that we make that a standing committee, and that would include, and I didn't include everything, but by making it a standing committee, you can include pretty much anything as it relates to infrastructure. For an example, it would be SCADA, not the old SCADA, the new SCADA, rodeo grounds and Stewart Street tank. You could expand the areas of discussion to include the entire infrastructure. This would include but not be limited to the replacement of the Fiscalini Reservoir, upgrades to the wastewater treatment plant from secondary treatment to advanced wastewater treatment to include tertiary treatment Title 22 and denitrification, review and discuss the wastewater collection system audit. That's the document that I distributed. Discuss remaining 80% of the cleaning and video of the collection system. Discuss our distribution system, our wells, San Simeon SR4, and the meter replacement. So you see that's probably one of the most important committees. Although they're all important, this is probably one of the most important committees that I think that we need to put to a standing committee. And then review matters relating to personnel projects, personnel policies and rules update, and municipal code. Left that as an ad hoc. Bylaws, this is something that I added, and I just need some feedback on the board from this. Director Rice has asked that we look into the bylaws and modify them. I didn't necessarily know we could do that at a board meeting, and it's just a suggestion to maybe have a bylaws ad hoc committee for short standing and duration to look at those and bring some changes, because she has some really good thoughts that she's got from special district classes and things like that. And the Enterprise Resource Program Committee. Now, this is, I could call it the what communicates to our billing software, is compatible with AMR and Badger readings. That can be, if the board wants to make that a standing and including community members. So this is just kind of my thoughts, and I'm just looking for some direction from the board on what you do want to make standing and what you don't want to make standing.
Thank you for that. Ms. Bettenhausen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Elizabeth Bettenhausen from Plymouth Street in Cambria. And I hope that you, as you deliberate on this, you keep in mind your policy as set in your bylaws, which distinguishes between an ad hoc committee and a standing committee. An ad hoc committee must have a very clearly specified task and a scheme as to how long it might take and how you recognize when the task has been obtained, and then you diffuse the ad hoc committee. A standing committee is a committee which addresses something that probably is going to happen this year and next year and next year. In other words, it's an ongoing aspect of the integral responsibility of the district and cannot be addressed simply in one task or another. And I think you would probably benefit by having that kind of delineation for each of these, rather than it's a certainly a commendable introduction by the general manager, but I think it's only a starting point because you've got some bylaws issues that you have to deal with in this. And finally, I take the last 3 seconds or so of my 3 minutes, and I wish you a happy holiday, whether it's Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, whether it's Christmas or New Year, or whether it's exploring the beach for the umpteen thousandth time. Merry holidays to you. Thank you.
Thank you. And just for clarification, Ms. Dickinson, you put something in for item 10, a public comment, so that would be public comment and something that wasn't on the agenda. Okay, thank you. So with that in mind, the pleasure, we'll start with the Director Rice on this issue.
Couple of things on the, this is something that I appreciate the fact that we're finally considering making some of these standing. I would hope the board would consider making the budget committee standing for the following reason. The budget committee needs to have a bigger picture, even if it ends up that not the same people sit on it every time. It is a bigger picture, and participatory budgeting, whether it starts out as a standing committee that has some happen. I fully support the Utilities Infrastructure Committee becoming a standing committee also, but my question is this a vehicle for informing the board of activities of the staff, or is it to set policies like priorities of what comes first, or to look at the detail of it so we can recommend to the full board, out of all of these things, how do we set the priorities and figure out where the money's going to come from? So is it just to inform the board, or is it to help you set the priorities and so to recommend priorities to the?
That's a very good question. There's a lot of need and limited resources. So I should have added that in there. But that's really is prioritizing and discussing how we're going to pay for it. What's the most appropriate and fiscally responsible way to fund some of these immediate needs? So that's I think. Prioritizing them and how we're going to pay for it is although that could be a part of the budget committee, but I see them working in unison together working cooperatively together.
Are all of these projects essentially we have to do all of these projects, or is it partially trying to make sure that what the projects that we're doing are?
That's a good question. If I had a list of what we have to do, and if you've been over to the rodeo grounds, we definitely need to do that. Stewart Street tank we've talked a long time about improving fire flow capabilities by sticking another tank up there. So I think that's a have to do. The Fiscalini tank is.
Well, I don't need the delineation right now because that's what the committee is supposed.
Yeah,
to
these
be for,
are these so are. I think these are really high priorities. Have to do. Not kind of boy. I wish we could do them. The only one that I would be a little bit, hesitant on, and I think that we have a 10-year window to do this, is slowly upgrading the wastewater plant to Title 22. I don't think that, State Water Resources Control Board is going to march in here tomorrow, but I think I just see a trend in California coming where they're requiring wastewater treatment plants, Morro Bay, Pismo, San Simeon, to get away from secondary treatment and to go to tertiary treatment. So I see that. I see them mandating that at some point within a 10-year period. The other ones, including the lift stations, are immediate needs. So, immediate needs.
Any of them, being standing or ad hoc, depends on the. But I do think that if we talk about here the review and rate discussions and things, that overlaps two or three committees, and I think it should be in a conservation committee as well, because. Rates are one of the methods of conservation, demand management, and so That's that. And otherwise, I don't have a particular problem one way or another. I know it's more staff time and things like that, but the only thing I might say is that one of the Water Alternative Committee, until you get some word back from the Army Corps of Engineers and we have some kind of a workshop, it might be cumbersome until we get that point. But from if we make any kind of a decision that isn't continuing our relationship with the Army Corps of Engineers, then we need that to be a wide open committee very quickly.
If you're complete, then Director Robinette and then Director Thompson.
Okay, thank you. This is my comment, and it is, and I have given a lot of thought to this for some time, and I know that I've made it kind of clear here from time to time. The committees that are listed here are fine, and we may have overlooked one, or we may decide one's becoming not so necessary, and that's still part of a discussion. The committee, or whether it's standing, ad hoc, but I think it does need to have some of the, it needs stakeholder participation for sure. It's not really a committee here right now, or an ad hoc, whatever you want to call it. And I don't know what we would call it. I know what I would call it. I would call it the Water Action Committee now. It is my number one focus. We have been in this business of rolling around with water for 30 years. We have had opportunities to have water. We could have had the California Aqueduct, and we could have had a coastal hookup. We have had other things where we were right on the edge in our district with people working so hard on other past boards, other past CSD staff. And then, for whatever reason, it's gone awry. I don't know about having something that we feel is, number one, we have permission to have it. We could have the actual choice that we are considering, that it is permittable, that it can go to design, that we start looking for funds and grants, and that, in fact, we have a start date for construction and an end date. That would be what I would like to accomplish in the rest of my life, I think.
Director Thompson.
Yeah, I in looking at the first one, the budget and rate study committee, I would tend to bifurcate those. I think the rate study, as we anticipate taking place next year, should be set off by itself. And I think the process should include public workshops. One of the most successful, in my mind, processes we had was with the fee study, where we introduced the proposed fee study to the community. We made sure that all the stakeholders were present. We got a lot of input. And we did a number of rewrites, but I think the final product was something that was very well done, and it was out there, and everyone had an opportunity to input. And so certainly on that one, and perhaps on some of the other items, I would hope that we would have the same type of workshop where we could introduce it to the community and see what folks think about what's been produced. And so with that, I'm open to however these are committees are constituted.
Thank you. And Director Rice?
Ditto on the rates. I think because it does overlap so many committees, that means that all five of us really have a lot of input that we would like to give into that process, which means that we should be having meetings that are not necessarily just committee meetings, but we definitely need the ditto.
Okay. All right. Just to put things in perspective, I'm reluctant to do 10 things, and we got 10 things here. I think it's pretty clear that we're moving forward with the rate study, and I think that when we do have public meetings regarding the rate study, an initial cut as what it's going to be needs to be supported by justifying by your list that you've already created of the infrastructure.
So the vision would be thing. I'm just suggesting, I'm outlining a potential thing, and then March, April, May. In May or June, and that we have the meeting that justifies the rate structure that we adopt, and we adopt the darn rates. As far as the last one you have here is the enterprise region, this IT, what was an IT committee. I'm going to reiterate what I said before. Maybe I didn't say it very specifically last time. But my fear is that there's a group, there are groups within the district that are operating under a 1980s guideline in a way. And regardless, and I think you mentioned that you're in your manager's report that you're going to meet with all of the different people, but everybody there was internal. And I would like either a citizens committee, or better yet, have someone come in and bid on doing everything we do outsource. I hate to say it. But yeah, outsource. In other words, maybe you have ADP come in and you have somebody else comes in that does all the billing, and you know, I don't know. It's something I'd like to either have a citizen or at least somebody going bidding, looking at the entire structure and saying, oh, we do that in Templeton, and we do it for $85 a month. You know, I don't know. There, so maybe you can look at that, maybe come back with some kind of a suggestion, but I'd take that off of an ad hoc committee even for now, unless there's some board members that want to.
I would just like to briefly say this. Anybody who thinks that they can get a software program like that for anything affordable should go and look up the 21st Century Project at the state of California, where they've been trying to fit everything together into one project, and they're up to over $1 billion in 10 years, and it was supposed to be done in 3. And I mean, I just was watching a hearing yesterday. I'm just
right.
saying.
I agree with that 100%.
Let's make sure we don't go down that road.
But if there's a service that already does these things for us, we don't have to buy a $300,000 software project. And I know you can buy that. You can get this for $300,000. But maybe somebody can do it for $2,000 a month. I'm just thinking outside the box in that one. So we'll talk. Maybe we can talk about that next time. Bylaws subcommittee. I will volunteer to work with somebody if they volunteer. Director Rice, we could do the bylaws.
I'll give my draft if two other people want to do it.
Let's bring it back next month, and so that we can get some of these other issues resolved. Shared services can be ad hoc. The water alternatives committee, ad hoc committee. If Director Cliff, if you would join with me, and administrative procedures. If anybody wants to volunteer for any of these ad hoc committees, I'm willing to vet that out and work with you. And maybe next month we can actually have A, B, and C. But I don't see 10. I see 3. And that's just my comments. This doesn't require any kind of a vote or anything. But and I'd be interested in your comments, Mr. Gruber.
I think as president, you have certain prerogatives here, and probably what you might want to do is poll some of the board members and come back next month with assignments.
That's my intent. Thank you. And I'd like input from Mr. Gruber also. Okay. With that, public comment. Ms. Dickinson.
Thank you, President Beringer. I'd really like to end on a conciliatory note, with hope that maybe going forward something will, Director Robinette, be accomplished. And that's why I really hope that some of you take it seriously to attend the January 20th Cambrians for Change meeting. We're looking at an alternate supply of water site that has not been looked at by Mr. Greshens or the CCSD. So I would hope that, I know only two of you can attend, but I hope General Manager Gruber will come at Rabobank at 5:30 on the 20th. We will have a professional, an expert geologist there who's done some preliminary studies on a site. There will be others there. There's a real potential that has not been looked at, and I think it's because the drive for desal and the hopes for desal have been so great that there have been sites overlooked that are really possible. And I've spent 8-10 hours a day, I kid you not, working on this for a long, long time. So my hope is that you will kind of say, yeah, you know, members of the community do care about the water situation. They're not against getting water. We need water. And I the last meeting was packed. I hope you will come, because you have not been presented with this yet, and I think it's something you might very well be interested in. So I urge you to do that. And then I want to wish you all happy holidays and the very best in the new year. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, with that, we will be future agenda items. I think we kind of discussed what we need to do here, but line there it says, place a matter of business on a future agenda by majority vote. So is somebody else supporting that? No. Let's make sure we have something presentable. Okay. With that, we adjourn to closed session.